Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here. It's good to see all of you. And I'd like to invite you to mark your songbooks to number 756. We'll sing that at the close of the lesson here in a few minutes. It's great to be together, and it's the beginning of a new year, and so many opportunities and things for us to look forward to. And I want to thank Patty for a nice card that you wrote to the church and thanking everyone for the baskets that we took around. Some of the ladies and families helped with that, Bill and Carol. And so we have a very nice card there from Patty on the bulletin board in the foyer. So thank you for that. And Bill, we're sorry to hear about your sister and the things you were sharing there this morning. I'd like to invite you to Joshua chapter 1. And we learn here a lesson that I believe for all of us is one that is needed and an encouragement for us as we begin a new year here. And we find that the children of Israel here were camped on the plains of Moab, and they had come to the edge of the promised land. Moses had brought them this far, and yet now Moses had died. And so the book of Joshua, it begins on that note that Moses has died, my servant has died, and that there is a new leader that God is selected here in Joshua to lead the people. Have you ever felt in your life a feeling of fear because of some great responsibility and a weight that you are feeling of how am I going to be able to do this? And I'm sure that you have. All of us have experience things like that in life where suddenly a great responsibility, something is happening, changing in your life, and you are feeling that great sense of how am I going to be able to do this? And that is the feeling that Joshua had on his shoulders. The weight of leading the people was a responsibility. And you know, God is giving each one of you this morning those responsibilities as we begin this new year. And as we as a congregation look to the future, that we have responsibility to work together in this community and souls that need to be saved and hearing the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. So there is always that feeling that we can have in our life of how can I do this? It is a great responsibility and sometimes the feeling of fear. And that is what holds us back so many times from what we are needing to do. Joshua here was now about 70 or 80 years old, it seems. And he, along with Caleb, they were the two oldest men of the nation, because all of the other young people of the generation had died. There had been a wandering in the wilderness of 40 years from the time that they had left Egypt and come to Mount Sinai and received the law. Now all of that generation had died, and it was Joshua and Caleb were the only two. They are older men, and now Joshua is becoming the leader of the people. And what a great responsibility it was because of Moses, the amazing leader that he had been. And when he died, God made the statement in the book of Deuteronomy at the end that since those days there has not been a leader like Moses, because he was one of a kind. And for him to now be dead and that to be sinking into the people, and for Joshua to realize now it's all on me, this responsibility to lead these people. I'm sure we have had those feelings, and as you begin this new year, I want you to think about the responsibilities that you have. Some of you as fathers in your household and in your family, the responsibility that you have there, and some of you mothers and raising your children, those are great responsibilities. And some of you, it might be a new job, it might be a new position in your work. There are always challenges that we have in life, and we need to look at the example here that the Bible gives us of Joshua and how he met those challenges, and the encouragement that God gave him is an encouragement that can help you and me as well. So God begins to give Moses in Joshua encouragement here in these verses that we're going to look in Joshua chapter 1. And again, he said there in verse 2 that Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. We might think that with Moses having died, that the first thing that God would say is, now I want you to wait. I want you to give full time to the mourning for the passing of Moses. And that is not what God says here. God says to Moses, to Joshua, he says, arise, go over the Jordan. Keep moving forward. Because Moses has died, but these are God's promises. It's God who's going to bring you into the land of promise. And as we look at our new year that is beginning, we need to have that same outlook of life, that those things that have happened in the past, we need to put those behind us, because God has a plan and He has a purpose, and we need to keep pressing forward with that, each one of us. So he tells Joshua here, in 3 days, you're going to be crossing over the Jordan. Get the people ready, in other words. Now, I love what God said to Moses here, to Joshua, in verse 3, when he says that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. We think about that promise that God gives here to them, and what does it really mean? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given you. This was a promise that God had already given to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 11 and verse 24. We find there that God had, while Moses was still living, had given them those words of encouragement in chapter 11 and verse 24 of Deuteronomy, when he said that every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, the river Euphrates, even to the western sea, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stop you from accomplishing those things. What it really is saying then is that wherever you physically go, God has given it to you. But if you do not go there, you will not receive it. God then gives them a challenge. He gives them a responsibility. There are two thoughts that God gives to Joshua and the people here. Number one is, I have given you this land. As far as you can see, I am giving it to you. But number two, you need to go there. You must go there in person and set foot upon these places in order for you to receive them. I want to say to you that that is a promise, that the principle of it is true in your life still today and in each one of our lives. God has given us so many promises and so many blessings. He has given us all spiritual blessings in Christ, the heavenly places in Christ. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 that God has given us in His promises everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's given us all things that we need, and yet there are many areas in our lives that we have not been there. We have not tapped into those blessings. We have not tapped into those resources that God has given us. But God has promised them to us. So there is a principle there that applies in life, that possession is the key. That when it comes to your property, do you occupy that property that belongs to you? And God has said, these things belong to you. I'm giving them to you. And yet many times in our lives, Satan has that control over that area of our lives. God has given it to us, but we haven't gone there. We haven't taken that possession that we need to be taking, those blessings that God has given to us. He tells us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3 that God is able to give us all things abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is giving Joshua tremendous encouragement here as he looks across the Jordan River and thinking about the promised land that lies out there, that every place that your foot will tread, I have given it to us. Now go take it. Go take it. Don't stop in your life falling short. You know, many times today, we as Christians, we want everything handed to us on a silver platter. Oh, I want to grow spiritually this year. Well, what do we need to do in order to make that happen? We need to be in God's Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be applying ourselves. And yet, so often today, the mentality that we as Christians have is we expect God just to give it to us. God did not do that with the Israelites. He said, every place you set your foot, I will give it to you. So you have to go there. You have to actually take on those challenges. There is a responsibility for us as we begin the new year to do our part. God will bless us. He will be with us. He will not forsake us. And it is that promise that He lays out before Joshua and the Israelites here, that this land, as far as you look, you can, this land I have promised to Abraham, and I am going to give it to you now. But you have to go there and set your foot on those places in order for it to become yours. Spiritually, there are many areas of life that we have not tapped into. We have not taken those areas because we did not pursue it. We have not persisted in what we have. You know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer, he says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to be imitators of those who through faith inherit the promises. God wants us to grow, and He wants us to move forward in our life, to keep pressing forward, and not to rest upon our laurels of where we have. And He tells them the size and the dimensions of this land that has been occupied by the enemy, by the Hittites and the Canaanites. If you do not go there, God is saying to Joshua, those people are going to still be living there in the land if you do not go into those areas. Children of Israel, the book of Joshua is a record of the fulfillment of these promises that God made. Because battle after battle after battle, they were successful. God was with them. It is not because of your strength and your ability, but I will be with you, and God is the one that will give them the victory. But you know, as you look over into the book of Judges and beyond, you see there are still areas where the Canaanites were never taken away. They continued to live in those areas. Why? Because the Israelites did not go there as God instructed them to do. So God gives Joshua a command and a challenge here in the very beginning. And He gives him the encouragement and the ability and the enablement in order to accomplish these things. First of all, God tells Joshua, He says, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. He says in verse 6, in verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now that is a promise that reminds us and recalls to us the incident of Moses in the burning bush. Because when God first appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 12 through 15, he gave to Moses that same promise, I will be with you. And what was Moses' first reaction? Moses was very timid. He was very hesitant to go before Pharaoh because he says, I am not eloquent. How can I do this, Lord? And God's answer was, I will be with you, Moses. I will not forsake you. God says the same thing. He is the same God. In other words, now that Moses has died, he's the same God that is now with Joshua. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. You know what a tremendous promise that is for us today. Because God will never leave us. Many times we have sinned against Him. We have failed Him. And yet He does not leave us. He does not give up on us. He does not abandon us. God is there with us. And you know, if you have any question about that, does that really apply to us today? Then turn over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 5 and 6. For the Hebrew writer says, speaking to all of us as Christians, he says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. For he himself has said, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God gives the same promise to us. In other words, that he gave to Moses. God is with us. He will not abandon us. None of us deserves that, but God doesn't leave us. He sometimes disciplines us, but he does not abandon us. You know, we need to have that same courage that God is calling for Joshua to have. When he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Because what is it that keeps us from accomplishing the things that God really has in mind for us as His church and as His people? You know what? It is fear. It is fear that we will fail. It is fear that people will not approve of us. It is fear that somehow we will not be able to do those things that God wants us to. Fear holds us back so many times. It's a struggle that we all have in living the Christian life. So God gives us tremendous encouragement. Be strong and courageous because I will be with you. He says this three times to Joshua in order to drive home this thought to him. Beginning there, he says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And then he says again further down in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is wanting us to be strong and to be courageous. How do we do that? He tells us through His Word. That's how we are going to be strong. The place of God's Word in our life is how we are strong. It is those things that we meditate upon day and night that are going to be in our minds and in our hearts to remind us of God's presence, that He is with us. Those are the things that are going to help us to be strong. And so what does he tell Joshua? He says here in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. He tells us that we are to meditate upon God's Word. And what does that really mean, to meditate upon God's Word? Does it mean, as the Eastern religions would tell us, to curl up in the lotus position, And don't say anything, don't do anything, don't put any thoughts in your mind, get everything out. Brethren, that is not biblical meditation at all. That is not what God calls upon His people. He says, meditate on My Word. Ponder it, think about it, how it applies to your life. And then you will be strong, then you will have good success. Do not turn from the right hand to the left. Do what My Word tells you. Believe it with all of your heart. And then you will be successful. One of the reasons that we have not accomplished more in our lives and grown more spiritually in our lives is because we have disobeyed that simple command of God. And when we do not have God's Word, and when we do not take God's Word and spend time with God in His Word in a regular basis in our lives, we are being disobedient to God. We are not believing God. We do not have faith in God. And that is the reason that when we come to a challenge in our life that is difficult, we give up. We do not follow through. Why? Because we are not meditating upon God's Word as we need to be doing. We're not spending time in the Word of God. As God instructs Joshua here, you want to be successful. You want to lead this people. It's a great responsibility, Joshua. Take My Word and meditate upon it day and night, and then you will be successful. Do everything that it tells you to do. Be obedient to My Word, and then you will find success. God gives us His success formula here in this passage. And what is the world's success formula that the world tells us and gives us in all the self-help books? It says, trust yourself. Pursue your dreams. Think good, positive thoughts. Believe in yourself and you'll be prosperous. Be bold. Take risks. Those are the kind of advice that we have from the self-help people and psychology in our world today. But is that the words that God gives to Joshua, how he can be successful? No, he says, trust Me. You take My Word. You meditate upon it day and night. You be strong and courageous to do the things that are in My Word. God tells us in the book of Romans that we are to renew our minds. Renew our minds. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may keep the perfect will of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells us, he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Psalms, in Psalms 119 and verse 97, he says there, David writing, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. In verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So there is the key of success. How we can be successful in our life. God says, trust Me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31 and 32, He tells us the same thing. He said, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God promises then, us in our Word. There's a path of success for each one of us in our life. I will be with you. I will help you to be successful. You take My Word and you believe it and you act upon it and you trust Me. And then you will be successful. Everywhere that you put your foot, I will give you those things in your life that you are able to accomplish. God tells us, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He tells us in Matthew 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters, For either he will hate the one and serve the other, or he will avoid the one and cleave to the other. No man can serve God and mammon. What is God's success formula for us in our life? It's to take His Word and to meditate upon it day and night. Think about these things and apply it in your life, and God will give us success. That's true of our congregation here. It's true of each one of us in our lives. God is not going to forsake us. He is not going to abandon us. But He expects us to do our part to take hold of those areas in our life. What is God's will for us? He wants us to have an attitude of pressing forward in our faith. Moses has died. Joshua, now you are the leader. Arise! 3 days from now, cross over the Jordan River and take hold of this land that I am giving you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He promises us that. He is with us. Be strong and courageous. God wants each one of us. And how do we do that? It's by meditating upon God's Word. What about you in your life as we begin this new year? What are your goals? What are the things that you would like to see happen in your life as you begin this year? You know, we are in the year 2020 as we begin this year. And there's a phrase that we sometimes say that when your eyesight is good, is perfect, you have 20/20 vision. We need to have 20/20 vision here as we enter into this new year. We need to have a clear goal in our mind of what we want to accomplish as we grow spiritually and as we work together in the service of the Lord. You know, one of the things that Joshua brings up here in the latter part of chapter 1 is with the three tribes that wanted to stay living on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They had discussed this with Moses previously, and it was the tribe of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. They said, "We like this territory. Can we have this as our home?" And they had already gone into those areas and driven the land, the people out. The Moabites, the Edomites. And so they said, "We have peace and we have rest. We would like to live right here." And Moses said, "All right, that'll be fine. You can live right here." But he says to them one thing. He says, "Now when we get ready to cross over the Jordan River to accomplish the defeat of the people there, you, the men of the fighting age who are of these three tribes, you must go with us until we have fully, successfully conquered that part of the land. Otherwise," he said, "be sure your sin will find you out." Now he said, "Your women and children, they stay here. But the fighting men will go with us." What does that tell us? That tells us that God wants us all as a congregation to work together. He wants us to be people who engage with each other as we seek to do the will of the Lord here in Berean. Not this idea that I have my own goal, I have my own agenda, I have my own life to live. He wants us to work together as a people, as a congregation, in love and in harmony and in unity. And God will bless our efforts when we join ourselves together as the body of Christ. Everyone is important. Everyone is valuable in the service of the Lord. This morning, as we think about these things, we're going to come to the close of the lesson, and we're going to stand and sing as the song of invitation, the song that has been selected, number 756. And if you are here this morning and you are subject to the invitation of Jesus, we're going to invite you to come forward that we might assist you as we stand together and sing number 756.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing the
Everyone to be thinking about our Tuesday class that we get together at Starbucks at 5 o'clock, and Bruce has moved, of course, and so Matt King, the young man that was here last Sunday, Donna's son, he is leading our study, and we're beginning the book of Philippians this week on Tuesday night, and we'll be covering Philippians chapter 1. So we'd be happy for any of you to come and be with us. There's another thing that I am hoping that we can be thinking about this year, and that is to begin a support ministry of helping each other in the congregation. And especially I'm thinking about those that have lost their wives, those that are facing health challenges. And Karen and I are thinking serious about taking a training course that will help prepare us, that will give us a lot of training that we might not have right now. But we want to get our senior group revived and going again, and with that focus really to minister to those that are hurting and those that need a lot of support and need a lot of encouragement. So I think that that is something that we are going to be really pressing and trying to set up and see some ways that we can help each other here in this congregation. It's good to see Dennis with us this morning, Dennis Larson. Good to see you, Dennis. And our visitors, we're happy to have you with us this morning. So let's go to God in closing prayer as we close this morning.
Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful, Father, for your word and the promises that you give us. And we know, Father, that you have promised throughout your word that you will never forsake us, you will never leave us, you will be with us as we strive to do your will. And we pray, Father, that we will not be fearful, but that we will be strong and courageous, and that we will look to your word to guide us in what we would be seeking to accomplish through your help. We pray for one another this morning, Father. We pray especially for those that are still hurting and are feeling the loss of their mates. We pray that you would be with them, especially in a special way. Please be with us now today, Father, and bring us again tonight as we come back this evening. We pray that you watch over us and forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So how are you?